sideline reporter for the Seahawks, Jen Mueller. Jen, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Well, it's about 80 degrees in Seattle, and I'm getting ready to go to watch Seahawks practice, so I am pretty darn good today.
Nice. That's great. Well, one guy you thought you were going to watch, but turns out you won't be, the Canadian longtime tight end just announced, Luke Wilson, that he's going to retire. They had just signed him. He practiced, I think, once and then just felt like, okay, you know what? My heart's not in it, and if your heart's not in it, you can't do it. Is there any concern? Like, I know he wasn't going to be their starter, but where do you see the tight end position at right now overall depth-wise in Seattle?
Yeah, you know, I just read that from Luke, and I am so sad just because he is such a fun guy to have around the team, but completely understand where he is in his career and wish him nothing but the best. He has been phenomenal. And, yeah, I think there is a bit of a question mark at tight end. Right now you have Gerald Everett. He's healthy. We have not seen him play in the preseason yet. That's part of the strategy of just not having starters play. But we're uncertain as to when Colby Parkinson is going to be back. Tyler Mabry did return to practice yesterday. He's been dealing with a sprained foot for the last 2 to 3 weeks. But unlike years past, this offense under Shane Waldron utilizes tight ends quite a bit and in very different ways. So I would say that there is a little bit of a concern of how many guys you're going to have healthy week one to truly execute this offense and make it as efficient as possible.
Jen, Connor Halley here. I just want to ask you about Russell Wilson. Obviously, last year, a career high in touchdown passes with 40, but also a career high interception total with 13. What do you expect from this offense when it comes to the passing attack this season?
You know, I expect him to get a lot of yards in the intermediate routes that we have not seen in the last few years. There's a lot of quick game. There's a lot of yards after the catch. It is going to set up some big plays for DK Metcalf and for guys downfield. But it wouldn't surprise me if you see a lot of yards and a lot more just passing numbers in general, because you're going to have more completions during the course of the game just by virtue of the way that this offense runs. I don't look too much into the interceptions. I mean, yes, he had some untimely interceptions during big games. But if you're going to throw the ball as much as they did last year, you're going to have to take, you know, the good with the bad, right? Or the bad with the good on that one. You know, certainly he does not want to have interception numbers that look like that again this year. But I think that this offense is going to open up a lot of stuff downfield, make it easier. But just the timing of the offense, a lot of quick intermediate routes will be utilized.
We're discussing the Seattle Seahawks with Jen Mueller. She is the team's sideline reporter. And the offensive line continuing to be a concern for the Seattle Seahawks. I believe he was Russell Wilson, that is, because he was sacked the most 52 times last season. How do you think that group is coming together here?
Well, it's been interesting. And let's also add into this conversation about the offensive line. Part of this is overall timing on the offense, right? So when you look at sack numbers from Russell Wilson, you also have to keep in mind that he, more than any other quarterback in the league, will extend plays. And by virtue of holding onto the ball and extending plays, you are going to take more sacks than other quarterbacks who traditionally stand in the pocket and let it rip. So there's that part of the conversation, which is why this offense in general, I think, will be more efficient this year. Offensive line has been interesting because there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of guys, whether they have been truly hurt or just dinged up a little bit, and you don't want to jeopardize anything in the preseason. We've seen a lot of guys sit out. So I would say right now what we need to see in this last preseason game and in practice is some continuity with the offensive line, right? Let's figure out who's really going to be there. Let's see them getting their reps, because it is a different scheme for the offensive line this year too. And we still don't know what's going to happen with Dwayne Brown, if he's going to get a deal done or not.
Chris Carson last season, you know, played 12 games. He did average, 4.8 yards per carry, which is actually his highest of his career. But when you, so how much do they miss him, and how much is he going to, you know, if he's returning, he's healthy all season, how does that change their play calling and what they can do offensively?
You know what? He has been such a huge part of this team, and he is 100%. He looks like a beast out there. And he's a huge weapon, not only in the straight run game, but he's got great hands. So I would expect to see him out there catching a few passes as well. I don't know if it affects the play calling as much. I mean, always counted on having a running back who can carry the load. And this offense, you certainly want that. Now, it might not look exactly the same. You might not be lining up in an I-back formation and just running the ball straight ahead. But I do think that he is going to help to balance out this offense. I am really curious to see what the mix of run pass is going to be under Shane Waldron. But he for sure is a huge weapon that they are relying on.
Now let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Jen, when you look at their defense, there's always a few changes. Who are some new faces that you feel are going to make an impact on the defense this season?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. New faces. Well, you'd like to see some of the cornerbacks come through. Akella Witherspoon, though, has not made the impact that you are looking for. Defensive line, you know, you've got a pretty good depth. I keep wanting to call Carlos Dunlap new. He's not new. I'm just meeting him for the first time in person after Zoom meetings all of last year and after having him come in during the middle of the season. You know, Robert Kimdiche can make a big difference on that D-line, which we don't talk about the interior D-line very much and the tackles very often. But when this entire team is rolling, and when it was rolling as the Legion of Boom and as the team that was going deep into the playoffs, it was the defensive line that made everything come together because of the pressure that they can get. So I think just the amount of guys that you have rotating on the defensive line has been a good one. And then seeing guys step into larger roles, like Jordan Brooks at linebacker, that's been a nice little revelation during the preseason.
We're joined by Jen Mueller discussing the Seattle Seahawks. Jen, looking at this team, and obviously you draw some of the names on defense, they got some big names, Jordan Brooks, another guy who could take a big step in year two, a former first-round pick. But are there any camp battles that you've been intrigued by following through what we've seen so far?
Yeah, absolutely at cornerback. Cornerback, and then what do you do at nickel? Is that going to be Ugo Amadi, or is that going to be Marquise Blair? And Marquise has missed some time with just soreness in his knee. That was from the ACL surgery a year ago. Last year, Marquise Blair was the breakout player in training camp. They were raving about him from start to finish, and then unfortunately, he was hurt early in the season. So you wonder, if he's 100%, does he slide back into that nickel role, or do you use Ugo Amadi there, who has been flying all over the field during the preseason? And then, like I mentioned with cornerback, you're looking for somebody to really jump off the page, and that hasn't happened. And you haven't played starters across the board, right? You've gotten guys in there who will start, right? And you've gotten Trey Flowers and Akella Witherspoon in there, but without everybody else, without the other starters on defense, it's kind of hard to tell. But that one's going to be an interesting battle. And interesting with Trey Brown, the rookie from Oklahoma, still in that mix a bit and getting more playing time, more run with the ones in practice.
Jen, final question from me. Just looking at this NFC West, one of the toughest divisions in football with the Seahawks, Niners, Cards.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Seahawks end up this year when it comes to the division?
Oh, my gosh. You know I can't take them anywhere else but top of the division. And I realize it sounds like I'm being a homer. And when you have Russell Wilson at quarterback, there is no reason to think that the team cannot win the division. And you're right. It is the toughest division. It is at great quarterbacks, because for as much as people might have laughed at Matthew Stafford in Detroit, that is not going to be the case with the Rams this year. He is a good quarterback with finally some weapons around him. Kyler Murray continues to take steps forward. I don't know what's going to happen in San Francisco, but I do know that everybody has great defense and quarterbacks who can get the job done. So I would say, if I'm going to look at those pieces, and I'm going to judge it by your quarterback and key pieces on defense, I like the Seahawks to win the division. And you're going to have to get a little lucky along the way and stay healthy.
It's kind of funny, Jen, because I almost forgot that the Seahawks were 12-4 last year. Right?
Like, yeah, everybody talks about them like they were, you know, an 8-win team.
Yeah, like they were good. They were 12-4, and maybe because of the previous successes they've had, you almost, like, you can't just take a 12-4 season for granted. But the Rams, you mentioned, I agree with you. I think their most important position on offense is better. They just got Sonny Mitchell, who I think is going to get an opportunity in L.A. The Cardinals, you know, with Kyler Murray, definitely could be a threat. San Fran's obviously the wild card. They were kind of a disappointment last year, and people think maybe they'll bounce back. But, yeah, that division, like, I think it might be difficult for anyone to win 12 games this year in the division, because I think there's four really good teams.
I think you could also see three NFC West teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, very, very well. Yeah, with the seven teams now, for sure, very likely to happen.
Yeah,
because the NFC East, I don't see more than one team coming out of there. There's not many teams I like in that division.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a blessing and a curse to play in one of the toughest divisions. I mean, you know that you're the team to beat if you come out on top, but man, is it going to be just a fight every single week when you one of those division opponents.
I want to ask you completely not really, just because they're in the NFC, though. The Saints no longer have Drew Brees. How much different do you think that's going to look? And if you had to pick between Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, who would be your starting quarterback?
Man, that is such a challenging question. Yeah, they're going to look really different, and I think it's going to be odd for me to watch highlights of it, right, and not know, and just, I don't know, you just not seeing Drew back there. If I had to pick, and keep in mind I'm not following the Saints closely, I'd go with Jameis Winston. I'd go with Jameis because he's got some more experience. And you can still use Taysom the way that you've used him with Drew. But
yeah,
that's
I
my
agree.
Pick.
Yeah, no, I agree. At the end of the day, you still got to be able to throw the ball as a quarterback, and I'll take Jameis Winston, especially now that he's got his eyes fixed. I think that'll help him
a lot. That'll fix all of his problems.
Yeah, well, maybe. But enjoy training camp. Enjoy the weather. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate your time.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.